Hi, good morning. I want to thank everybody for staying around. I feel like it's probably been a long morning for some people. I'm going to be presenting on the health of Asian American women who have sex with women. It's a little bit different from some of the studies that we've heard about before, because there's actually not a lot of literature, not surprisingly, on Asian American women who have sex with women. So this is kind of piecing together what literature there is, and hopefully will inspire other researchers as well as give people who work on programs and policies just kind of some concrete direction on what are some directions we could go. And my co-presenter Sel couldn't be here, but we have nothing to disclose. So just to go across a few terms really quickly, I know originally the title had been API, women who have sex with women, and the truth is most of the data we have is on Asian American women who have sex with women. So again, pulling a lot from a lot of the different people and presentations today, looking at differences and kind of the context. And I'm going to say WSW a lot, which is women who have sex, short for women who have sex with women. And we define this kind of behaviorally instead of saying lesbian women or bisexual women. A lot because of cultural kind of conceptualizations of sexuality, that in a lot of cultures, sexuality isn't as dichotomous or as central to someone's identity. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. And I'm also going to be talking about health in kind of a broad manner, medically, as well as kind of the definition of well-being. So health not being the absence of disease, and touching a lot actually on mental health. So the objectives, just really quickly, is to think about different stressors and barriers to healthcare for Asian American women who have sex with women, and discuss health disparities, and then be able to articulate how programs, policy, and research can be more inclusive of this population. So I'm going to go over this pretty quickly, but the exponential growth in the Asian American population, and a huge diversity in terms of ethnicity, nationality, language, skills, economic status, immigration status, and then I'm adding on here sexual orientation and gender identity, just to put that out there. And then also belief systems about health. So what does it mean to be healthy? What do you do if you're not healthy? What kind of services are you accessing? Do you wait until someone's really, really sick to go get care? And if it's a mental health problem, do you seek care at all? Or how is that kind of manifested? And then also other cultural considerations to think about is history. So again, talking about personal trauma or historical trauma from past generations. And again, to touch on the idea that the strong sense of family and community often precedes both an individual identity and also the needs of an individual, and kind of how that plays out, especially for queer Asian Americans in terms of having to choose between communities, and whether or not that's an issue. And then to also think about the stereotype of being a model minority, so being able to easily achieve the American dream, and where Asian Americans fit in within kind of a larger race politics in the U.S. So to talk a little bit about sexuality, I already touched on briefly that a lot of Asian societies have different kind of perspectives on sexuality that are less dichotomous. So it doesn't have to be just a lesbian or women who have sex with women or just a gay male, that there's kind of more variations or segmentations and different identities, and that identity doesn't necessarily define who you are. And then how there's a stress associated, so thinking about kind of a lot of mental health, how there's stress associated with experiencing sexism, racism, and homophobia, and how does that work when you're experiencing all three of those? Is there an interaction? Do they compound each other? We don't really know. And as I said before, that there's often can be a pressure if, say, there's a Korean American woman who has sex with other women, doesn't necessarily identify as a lesbian, but then is there pressure to kind of find a community or find a space where that person can be acknowledged for every part of who they are? And do you have to choose between being in the LGBT community or being in the Korean American community, and where can you be kind of acknowledged in all your self? And much like mental health, sexuality is also very taboo to talk about or openly talk about in general and in terms of what gender or sex of person you're having sex with. So that leads to very low visibility. Not a lot of people out there standing up at this picture on the top saying, you know, we're here, we're queer, this is what's happening. There's a little bit of data from the 2000 census showing the number of Asian women headed same-sex households. And so this kind of can be like the start to, yes, there is existence, we are out there. And there are active political and social groups in major U.S. cities, so San Francisco, L.A., New York, D.C., there's a lot of kind of social activism and a little bit of organizing going around. But really there's this huge lack of epidemiological data, both by race. So again, the census starting to be better to collect and be able to aggregate out data by race, but then also by any kind of sexual orientation data on a national level is completely lacking. In either sexual orientation or behavior. So what we do have is some small reports. This top report is by an organization out of LA. It's a collaboration between San and Satrang, and they put out a report on LGBTIQ communities, so lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and queer communities in Southern California who are South Asian. And then nationally, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force has a survey of about 860 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Asian Americans. So this is pretty much the largest survey that's been done so far. And just to highlight a few things about discrimination from that survey, the women in the survey reported that they experienced very high levels of discrimination or harassment based on their race at 90%. And sexual orientation. So really, really high levels of discrimination reported. And then thinking about kind of where does this discrimination come from? Where are people experiencing it? We see that racism in lesbian, bisexual, queer communities was a big issue that was brought up. So that people from the larger kind of gay or lesbian community are experiencing racism. And then also homo and biphobia in ethnic communities. So this slide, this graph was taken from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force report that I referenced earlier. And 53% strongly agreed that homophobia and or transphobia is a problem within the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. Then just to touch on the few studies that have highlighted Asian American WSW, been found that young Asian American WSW experience greater discrimination directed at their ethnicity than their sexual orientation. So kind of comparing, you know, where do you get more discrimination? Is it based on your ethnicity or your sexual orientation? And then another study, recent study, found that Asian American lesbian and bisexual women who were Asian identified had lower internalized homophobia compared to Western identified. So that's a little bit confusing, but could maybe, with further study, start to get what are some protective factors or how do people deal with the different levels of discrimination. And then just to touch on from the kind of lesbian and bisexual literature, that overall lesbians experience discrimination. I mean, overall, this doesn't paint a very clear picture of what's going on with Asian American WSW, and I realize that, and I think more of the point is that there isn't an understanding of kind of how is race and sexuality interacting to really affect people's health. I think what we do have a greater sense is in public health is kind of more and more building upon is that we know that there's a link between discrimination and poor health. And so we know that there's this new concept of this multiple jeopardy. So you're a woman of color, an Asian American woman, and you're also identify as lesbian. These are all added layers of kind of discrimination. And so I'm going to speak really quickly about some of the unique health needs of Asian American WSW relating to access to care, mental health, sexual health, and then chronic health issues. So access to care, in general, many studies have found that minority women have poorer health outcomes than white women, and a lot of this is attributable to both lack of insurance and preventative care. So again, much like seeking mental health, seeking preventative care is not usually people's top priority. And also, unrecognized same-sex partnerships may leave some women uninsured. So again, that's another access to care issue. And that immigration status and low English proficiency has also been found to be to hinder care, as well as typical outreach efforts. So I think sometimes people don't think about how that impacts kind of outreach. If your outreach is culturally competent, if it's in the correct language, if it's somewhere that people can get it discreetly or not. So to touch on mental health, which we've heard a lot about today, mostly I have pretty much the same points up here for mental health that everyone's talked about. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that when I'm talking about Asian American women who have sex with women, this isn't some totally other group that's really different and has different needs. That again, the shame and denial, there's suggested increased rates of depression among Asian Americans, and minority sexual orientation, and so how do those interact, and again, the experience of discrimination. Really quickly, sexual and reproductive health, talking about people who are hesitant to seek care. Asian Americans are often hesitant to seek pap smears, mammograms, again, the preventative care. How do you get that in there? And therefore are diagnosed with more advanced kind of cervical and breast cancer because of that lack of preventative care. And also with WSW, there's possible differences in gynecological and breast cancer morbidity and mortality, and this is kind of really controversial, but it's talked about a lot in the LGBT health that this could possibly be because of lack of taking oral contraceptives as well as not having children and how that affects kind of hormones. And I just wanted to say my training is in sexuality and health, and so sexually transmitted infections are still important to talk about. They can be transmitted, although HIV has not been documented. Between women, a lot of chlamydia, gonorrhea, HPV, all can be. And most women who have sex with women have also had sex with men. So tobacco and alcohol use, intimate partner violence, diabetes, obesity, all of these are issues for women who have sex with women. So pretty much saying that Asian American women who have sex with women should receive the same clinical care, but it should be culturally appropriate. And also, just to ask, most women aren't out to their providers or their clinicians. So the simple question of, do you have sex with men, women, or both, can really open up kind of a dialogue and help the physician. As far as programs, think about both ways that LGBT programming can be more inclusive to Asian American WSW, and then also how Asian American health centers could be more LGBT inclusive. And it can be as simple as, like I said, asking a question or having some literature on WSW in your waiting room. So then finally, moving forward with research and policy, just to think about structural barriers to care and really think broadly about decreasing discrimination and how that would affect the whole Asian American community and the whole LGBT community, how it can really be powerful. And of course, to fund more research and the usual with the American Public Health Association, we want to collect more data and see what's really going on. So thank you for staying around to the very end, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Asian Pacific Islanders, so it didn't compare to other kind of races or ethnicities, and so I don't know the data. Sorry.
Do you have any other questions for Dr. Lin or anybody else? Panel?
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming to our session today. I'd like to encourage you to join the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus, and we have a business meeting from 6:30 tomorrow night, Tuesday. And I'd like to encourage you to join and attend our socials. We have membership forms and a program guide for other sessions. Our social is tomorrow night, Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Royal Thai Cuisine Restaurant. That's on 5th Avenue, around 5th and Island, 467 5th Avenue. Again, thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
We worked together on another initiative besides the Filipino Mental Health Initiative. It's also our, excuse me, our BART initiative, which looks at GLBT issues. And so I love to what we're trying to see the
I was telling Jay, too, this is part of a larger chapter on Asian American LGBT health, which is going to be coming out in, I think, March 2001. We're really excited that it's coming out. Obviously, there's a lot more research out there on men.
We're doing a youth assessment on the transgender population in San Miguel County.
Okay.
And we're hoping to just do a general GLBTQIA.
That would be awesome. Yeah, it's
just so I would love to get more information from you.
Yeah, we did. Oh my gosh. If you ever want like any background research, I mean, I think our like at the end our bibliography was like 150 like lit articles. I mean, and as you saw, there's only like 5 on women who attend to women. But there's a lot elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that we've already seen, at least anecdotally, is that for the transgender population, we're sandwiched right in between San Francisco County and Santa Clara County. Most people just go to San Francisco, so there's really no resources in our county to be able to provide services. I think that there's like one doctor, one provider. That
right.
So a lot of it is educating our providers, but then there's also making sure that, you know, there's sensitive services.
Right. I mean, like I said, it's interesting to think about. Is it like a layering of kind of discrimination? Or Lisa Bolick does a lot of work with like African American lesbian women. She talks about like, well, can that help? Where are the strengths that we can like really pull out? Like, how can a more community family based orientation, how can that like help us to, you know, battle against the discrimination?
Yeah.
I wrote the Asian American LGBT on the back just because my card doesn't say anything about that. I'm sure you're getting a lot of cards. You're an Asian.
Are you? Have you
talked with Tom? Awesome. No, I haven't.
You should. I'm president of the board of directors.
Okay. And I just visited your office for the first time because I was going to the CPG.
Oh.
And
okay.
Which is in the same building. And so I just met. Who did I meet? I met a woman.
Jenny?
I think so.
Jenny Cross?
Yeah.
Or Cindy.
Not a social worker. Let's see. Her office is not the one that's green. Her office, she has a little section. She does like math tutoring for some kids. It seems like she's been there for a long time.
Oh, really? Okay. Where is it? Is she trans?
Maybe.
Okay. She's more slender.
No. Well, no. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't like. I would. That wouldn't be the first word I'd pick.
Okay. Well, then maybe it's.
Okay. Well, I missed some.
Okay. We've got three.
Presenter, can we get a brief picture all together? Let's do it really quick.
We've done a lot of programs with in terms of focusing specifically on WSW. I mean,
right.
The programs that we focused on in terms of women had been like with the massage parlor workers and that type of
thing. Right, in Chinatown.
But I think that it would be very interesting to explore what we can
do. I would love to my work at CHOP is we work with young MSM. So I work Connect to Protect Coalition. So we work with a lot of AIDS service organizations, but we focus mostly on Black and Latino. And I think at the very beginning, we had someone from ATAC who would come to our group meeting. But then, I guess, because it wasn't focused. Okay, hold on. I want to keep. Can we?
I'll do this really quick.
And you know, smoking is just such a big one because it's found that lesbian women smoke more, drink more, but then it's like Asian American community is really ethnic.
We're doing a lot of stuff with Asian Americans right now, I know that, and we have a specific adult tobacco survey for Asian Americans.
The health topics that we're going to cover.
So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
feel free to leave me an email if you have any questions.
Thank you so much for coming.
Great talk.
Thank you. I talked like super fast. I really,
I know there's so much focus on MSM, and I didn't realize there's actually stuff going on.
And they chose high blood pressure.
Do you find it's hard to focus on those because it's just not so obvious regarding like.
So you have both?
Yeah, I do have a degree at Columbia.
Oh, okay.
So also now doing more pre-crisis. So I'm doing more programs as well as still seeing patients. So,
And so you were asking about this morning about ERPHs and stuff.
Yeah, I was there.
Are you thinking about?
You know,
what are you thinking?
I actually thought it was helpful. I think the DRPH is for me to go. Because I always I did the social work because I wanted to do therapy and work with individuals. But what I liked about public health is how do you respond to that then on a more bigger context? You know? Because there's only so much you can do like one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm just trying to finish out my licensing for social work. And then figure out my life and then apply possibly for the
ERPH. Did you want to stay in New York? Are you like a New Yorker now?
It's hard. I don't know. Now I know something based on what they said, depending on the program and ideology. I mean, I would look at global. So I'm going to talk to Nadia since she graduated from there. I'll see if NYU has something similar. Ideally, like the East Coast, my family's in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about, like, moving to the West Coast, because I was like, oh, I think I love the West Coast, blah, 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 like, I still want to have big Frisbee. I mean, I moved to Philadelphia. Philadelphia's like a black, white city. I, like, look around, I'm like, where are the Latinos and where are the Asians? I'm like, what happened? Yeah, it's so crazy. And, like, coming out to San Diego and this conference is so great. I'm like, yay!
Oh, my God,
well,
I live in San Jose for 1 year, and it was so amazing. It's like where I even grew up in Jersey, which is pretty diverse, but like followed everybody. When I came to San Jose, I was like, everyone looks like me. It's really weird.
It's like when I go to Seattle and there's like tons of like Hapa.
Yeah, right?
Oh my God, there are other people that look like me? I'm like, other than my little brother? You
know,
like.
It's so weird. I was like, it was recording. It's so weird. That's the time.
Wow. Yeah, you too. I think you like her. And you'll actually, I can't believe you know what Connect to Protect is. It's like so exciting when you meet people.
I know. I went to another conference and they used the Connect to Protect as a model because we're doing things again to prevent sexual violence. And they referred to Connect to Protect.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like so proud. I think it's so cool. Like structural change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I really like.
Yeah. I have to admit, like, you just got one. I was trying to feed in the Asian.
I don't know what part.
Thank you.
Because that's for sure the validation of our family.